Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet Broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Joe Geckler, Chris Cale, Eric McElroy on vacation this week, so Chris is just us, and we have a special guest joining us this week. We're less than 2 weeks away from an annual event that's big for high school football around here, and it's the TR All-Star Game, the 41st year of the Times Reporter All-Star Game, and it'll be played at Woody Hayes Quaker Stadium in New Philly on Friday, July 20th. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock, and joining us from the TR, Roger Metzger. Roger, thanks for taking time to join us here at Big Z Sports.
Always a pleasure to see you guys, man. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it, and 41 years. That's kind of
41 years, and I've done a lot of those.
How many have you done, Roger? In those 41 years, how many have you done?
I started in 1987 was my first game with the Times Reporter.
Okay.
I was in grade school still.
How about that?
I was 11, if I make sure.
How about that? Well, that's why I got this gray hair here, you see.
Probably from him, isn't it?
The gray. Yeah, maybe some of it.
But All-Star practice will open on Wednesday, July 11th.
Yes.
Which is tomorrow. And it's kind of crazy to think about the seniors that graduated back in May and June are strapping the football pads on one more time to get out there and play. And these rosters are... Looking at the rosters, if you look at the East and West, some big names that we all know. Mm-hmm. Look at the East roster first. We got Taron Harris from Claymont. I'm not going to go over everybody, but just point out some names. L.J. Lowry from New Philadelphia. He was a big contributor to the Quakers last year. Jarrett Swinderman, we all know, caught a big touchdown pass towards the end of the year against their rival Claymont in Week 10. Mason McEwen. Xavier Grant will be playing in this game. Kai Carruthers. I think the East is going to run the ball if I had any.
Well, I would with Kai and with Xavier
Grant
there.
Yep. I'm Chase sure. Flanagan from Carroll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Chase, too. Yeah.
Who's going to play quarterback? Are they just going to run like the triple option or what?
Well, no, we'll have to ask our coach, Mr. Cummings. He might know for
yes,
sure.
Yes, that would be true. Casey, he's going to want to throw the ball. So we're going to see what happens.
I'm sure he'll let Taron grip it and rip it once in a while.
I'm sure he will. But Jelani Walker as well from New Philly will be on the East. If you look at the West, Colton Alexander, Jarrett Slusser, Caden Folkert, Dre Hess, probably the biggest name of any on any roster. Andrew Cragen from Strasburg, Zach Wright from Ridgewood. Justin Stropke. So a lot of big names on both sides. It'll be a fun time this year. Talk about the event a little bit, Roger. Again, like I said, July 20th on Friday, kickoff at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and something new this year, which we didn't foresee coming down the road, I guess that East Canton and Buckeye Trail had expressed interest in playing in our game, and we had never used either one of those schools before.
Awesome.
Well, since they have joined the IBC, they expressed an interest to the IBC commissioner, Chuck Russ, saying, hey, what can we do to get involved in this game? And so he said, well, I think you'd have to ask Roger because he might be able to. I don't. And I said, I had no idea whether we were allowed to do this or not. So I asked the higher-ups from our organization. They said, sure, if you want to do that. So the Buckeye Trail is going to be on the west side, and East Canton is going to be on the east side. So got some more people from the north and the south will be able to take in our football game. So that's
awesome.
That makes it a little bit different this year. So something new.
Absolutely
it does. And that's one of those things where it's always great to grow it. Obviously, you know, it tasks you guys at the TR so much to put this game on. But if the fans come out and the players come out and it continues to grow and it's for charity, how can you not continue to do it, right?
And that's the main thing we're talking about here, Chris, is
right.
Charity. We've raised over, in the 40 games that we've had, more than $350,000 for charity.
Wow, that's awesome.
And in the last 10 or so years, most of it's gone to Rainbow Connection. That's our benefit
right.
Again.
Absolutely.
This year. Last year, we raised $10,000 to give the Rainbow Connection.
Awesome.
So that's I mean, sure, it's fun. Everybody gets to get out and see each other and football and everything. But the bottom line is the charitable contributions we make to the Rainbow Connection.
Well, and the Rainbow Connection, of course, all near and dear to us here at WTUZ, and pretty much everybody in the area as we go over there and help support that on Easter weekend and stuff. So that's something. But I'll tell you what, being, I never obviously got to play in this game, but a lot of my friends and stuff have, and knowing what that means to those kids before they go off to college, some of those kids, this will be the last game, the last time they ever put on pads.
That's true.
They ever suit up. Other kids are going to go off and try to play college and continue their careers, you know, on the football field. But this will be the last time that they get to suit up in front of their friends and family at home.
Yeah.
This is important, not just to the charities, not just to those things, but it's really important to these kids because you know how much it means to them.
Yeah. Well, one example is a kid from the West. I won't say who it was, but he called me up and said, "Hey, all my teammates got letters to this All-Star game. I said, I didn't get any. I said, is there something I did or didn't do? And I had to check. And I said, well, we sent one out. For some reason, you didn't get yours. I said, just let me know. Yeah, I'll send you another one. And he gave me the proper address and everything. And he was just so grateful. He said, oh, thank you so much. I really want to play in this thing. I said, this is what I wanted to do all, you know, since I was in high school. Yep. I want to play in it. And yep. He sees all his friends playing it. Now, needless to say, we can't let every kid play.
Sure.
But this is somebody really, really wanted to play in our game, and I'm appreciative for that.
Oh, that's a big story. I mean, you know, you weren't in high school, obviously, in this area, mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah.
But I know when I was in high school, all my friends that played for Dover, you know, certain guys, obviously Brent Morrison was our quarterback for 4 years. He was the first freshman to quarterback, you know, at Dover for quite some time. And obviously till Alex Sayre came in. And Brent was really, you know, I remember him talking about that. Even as a freshman in high school, you know, man, if I keep playing, I get to play in a TR All-Star game before when we're done. And that it's important to guys. It really is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And like you said, Roger, 40 years of this game being played. And Chris, I'll quiz you because I know Roger knows this. Who leads the all-time series, Chris, after 40 games?
The West.
What's the record?
I don't know, but the West leads
21-19.
Is it really?
Yeah,
awesome.
It's really, really close, and we're excited. And big news: Big Z Sports and WTUZ will be calling the game live, play-by-play coverage. I caught up with you a couple weeks ago to make sure you had room. I know it's a popular event, so Big Z Sports, and we'll be there at Quaker Stadium calling the game on 99.9. Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a laid-back broadcast. Myself, Eric, and Chris will be there, and we're excited to be a part of this event. It's taken a few years to get back into that play-by-play avenue, but I think this is a good step for us to get back out in the community.
And plus, you can get tickets. Tickets are on sale now.
Sure.
You can get them. We have some outlets around the area. The Times Reporter, obviously, is a place where you can get them. $7 in advance, $9 the day of the show. You can get them at Urexville, Sugar Creek, Coshocton, Newcomerstown, Delroy. There's places that you can sign. Just look in your paper, and you'll be able to find out where they're at. So.
And we have a pack of four tickets here, as you can see on Facebook Live. We are going to give these tickets away here soon, so be paying attention for that. Yep. If you want tickets to go to the East-West All-Star Game for the TR, the 41st annual TR All-Star Game, we will give tickets away to that coming up very shortly. You know, Roger, if they have any questions or comments or concerns about the game, how can they get a hold of you if they need anything?
They can send me an email at roger.metzger@timesreporter.com, or if you want to just talk to me, usually I'm in the office anywhere after 2:30. You can reach me at 330-364-8427. Give me a call, and if you have any questions, give me a call, and we'll see if we can answer them for you.
Absolutely. I know we didn't mention the coaches this year, but which is really cool for us because at the end of the season last year, Casey Cummings announced that he resigned from TCC, and that's one of our guys that we love talking to is Casey, and earlier this summer, it was announced that he's back, and it's kind of funny. So we loved having Casey back, and he will he'll be coaching
the East squad.
So we're excited to see Casey back on the sidelines even before the season starts. But on the West side, Newcomerstown head coach Dirk Gadd will be coaching the West. Last couple of years, the West has kind of dominated a little bit the talent wise. If you look at all the Garraway kids and all the Dover kids that they've had, you know, now the East. I mean, like I said, it's going to be a physical game.
Swapped up game.
But if you actually look at the results from the games, I think and if I you I don't have a program with me, but I think it's been every other year the team has won. Last year was the West. The year before was the East. Then the West, East. What? Yeah. Last 5 or 6 years. So it's very competitive. I mean, sometimes the scores at the end they're not competitive, but as far as the talent for both teams. I mean, both squads, it's very, very competitive.
Yeah, I think it's just a great game to watch. And it's, you know, it's been since February since we've had football, right? Since the Super Bowl. It's been since.
If you want to call that football, yeah.
Well, it's been since November since we've had high school football, right?
Yeah.
So it's been 6-7 months now.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, everybody's churning and knowing that. Obviously, the Hall of Fame game's coming up shortly, right? Pro football camps are opening.
Well, we had the spring games for all the colleges.
Right.
Now all the all-star games for high school.
Fantasy football leagues are starting to open up with trades and those sort of things. Everything's starting to wind up, so everybody gets geared up for high school football, and it's great to have the all-star game, even though it's in July. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes we got to really feed them kids water, but I can't wait to be roaming the sidelines this year. I mean, I did it last year just doing Facebook Live and stuff like that. Got to talk to Dan Iff, got to talk to Matt Dennison and different people. It'll be great to put a microphone in front of them this year. I'll hunt Roger down, of course. We'll hunt some players down on the sidelines. Sure. Like you said, it's going to be a laid-back broadcast. I think it's going to be fun to be right in the middle of things and really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
It will be a good time. And, Roger, we appreciate you taking time to join us here on the Big Z Sports Podcast to talk about the 41st annual TR All-Star Game. We're happy to be a part of it this year. We're honored to be a part of it. And we look forward to seeing you here in about a week and a half.
All right. Well, thanks for having me down here, guys.
Absolutely. Roger Mesker from the TR joining us here to talk about the All-Star Game coming up on July 20th at 7 o'clock at Woody Hayes Quaker Stadium. It's going to be a fun event, a lot of fun names that we've talked about all last fall and even preview the upcoming season because that's going to be here
before you know it.
So again, the TR All-Star Game, we will have tickets to give away. Is if you see there, I have a pack of four, maybe two packs of two. We'll see how we split them up, but we will give some tickets away here coming up shortly on the Big Z Sports Podcast. But Chris, let's get into a little bit of baseball. The Reds are playing a lot better. They're catching your Pirates. They just beat the Indians last night 7-5. They were up 7-1, I think it was, or 7-2 going into the ninth inning, and the Reds bullpen about blew it, but they held on, and my Reds knocked off the Indians. But more importantly, the All-Star game, the All-Star teams were announced on Sunday. 5 Indians on the team. Are you surprised by how many we had?
No, I'm not surprised. Are you, Roger? No. I mean, they've got just. I mean, look at Frankie Lindor and Ramirez and Kluber, and I mean, how do you not put them on an All-Star team? You know, the thing that I'm upset about, I am so tired of the Pirates getting snubbed. I can't believe Corey Dickerson is not on an All-Star team.
Well, when you're a bad team and only have one good player.
It doesn't matter. No, they don't have one. They got more than one good player because they have an All-Star. It's just not Corey Dickerson, and it's not Josh Bell, and it's not Starling Marte.
Well, he's a cheater. They're not going to put a cheater in the All-Star game. So
I don't understand how these guys keep getting snubbed, but that's besides. How many did Reds get?
3, but 3 deserving ones.
Okay, so Bell.
Hold on. You have the
Dickerson.
Suarez, who leads the National League in RBIs, hello, and he missed 3 weeks, so kind of season he would be having if he wouldn't have missed 3 weeks. Okay. Jeanette, who's having a great season, should have been a starter.
His name's Scooter. That should throw him out right there.
He's better than any player on the Pirates.
No, he's not.
Oh, absolutely.
No, he's not.
Then, of course, I'm not sure Joey Votto. I'm not sure Joey Votto belongs this year, but he is one of the better players in the league. Runner-up.
That's a name
MVP
right
voting.
There.
That's why
all
a
name recognition right there.
But you know what? I think Scooter and Suarez definitely belong. They've had great seasons.
You know, I'll tell you what, you guys. If I have one beef with the All-Star game, it's the fact that they're – the fans get a vote.
Yes,
the players get a vote, and
the fans decide the starters.
Right.
Yeah, but I've seen, and I didn't vote. I see where you got to vote up to like 5 times. I mean, what country are we living in?
Oh,
do you get to vote 5 times for president or 5 times for?
No.
Good thing
I don't.
Didn't.
But I don't like that. One vote per person. That's it. That's
sure,
all you get.
Sure.
Right.
And,
Because the Braves fans really stuffed the ballot box this year. There's a few Braves that probably don't deserve to be out there. I mean, Freddie Freeman's a deserving candidate, but the kid that's playing second, he's a rookie, that Ozzie Albies or whatever. Scooter belongs at second base over him. But you know what? That's what the fans do. They vote in their guys. And
they're the one that pay the bills.
Sure.
But still.
I'm with you. It's
the NBA. Bryce Harper in the outfield, come on. Dude's hitting barely over 200.
Right. The NBA and the MLB All-Star games become a popularity contest anymore.
But I still think the Major League Baseball All-Star game is still the best All-Star.
I agree with you. With the Home Run Derby, and they have the Rising Stars game, right. the celebrity game. I agree with you. I think the Baseball All-Star weekend is still the best. It used to be basketball with the dunk contest and the three-point shootout, but it kind of – when you can't get the stars to come out and participate in those events, back in the day when it was Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, you know, that was
– Yeah.
I mean, how you can't get much better than that, right?
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
And now it's you don't even know who is playing. It's bench guys that are in a dunk contest other than, you know, Larry Nance Jr. And the only reason why we knew him was because – his dad's a legend in Cleveland, so you know what I mean?
And we ain't speaking of any other legends from Cleveland on this podcast.
No, I don't want to talk about that guy. Hey, did you see that they did deface one of his little paintings out there, though?
People are ridiculous.
Hey, you know what I got to say about that?
Oh, jeez. It was probably your friends that did it, you deplorable. But let's talk about the Indians and Reds. Roger, that's right up our alley. I mean, obviously, you're a Reds fan. We have a Pirates fan here. I don't know how
he's an Indians fan.
I know,
he's
but I'm a Reds fan.
You called him a Reds fan.
He's an Indians fan.
Well, I know he is.
But we're going to talk a little Indians and Reds. Obviously, the Reds not having the season. You know, I think all the Reds fans knew that this was kind of still a rebuilding process for them. But the Tribe doing very, very well. Need to get their bullpen in shape a little bit. Their starters have been good. The offense has been there. But, man, their real problem before the trade deadline here in a couple of weeks, they need to add a couple arms to that bullpen.
It's amazing what one guy can do to a bullpen. And the loss of Andrew Miller this year has just been – it's just screwed that whole – bullpen up royally. It's just he has not been a factor, and then you've got guys that just haven't been able to do the job. Plus, then they brought in, I mean, they were at a point, you know, they were bringing in Oliver Perez. I'm going, oh my gosh, Oliver Perez, he's older, almost as old as I am now. But Oliver Perez, Neil Ramirez, I mean, I didn't think we'd be able to see these guys at the beginning of the season, but to their credit, they're hanging in there. But I mean, they're just too many blips. And you're right.
You imagine if they didn't play in the AL Central?
Oh.
That division.
Of the criticism I have with the Indians this year is they cannot beat anybody above 500.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They struggle on the road, too. They're struggling on the road. And they need to rectify this bullpen really fast. Get Josh Tomlin out of there. They need to send him somewhere else other than Cleveland.
I mean, God bless him. He's a great, great serviceable pitcher, but his time has come and gone.
Salazar, I think Salazar's done for the year. Carrasco still battling some injuries, but he's back. Kluber's doing well. He's been touched up a couple times here recently. But you know what? I think the Indians have the pieces there offensively. With their rotation, they just really need to get that bullpen in shape. And one guy that honestly could help them by the deadline, who's
Percy.
I was thinking Raisel.
They shouldn't have got rid of Percy.
I was thinking the Reds closer, Raisel Iglesias, who's on the block. That would be a nice acquisition for the Indians if they go after a bullpen arm who's been really solid. But it'll be interesting down the stretch to see what the Indians do. Now that they're kind of the team in Cleveland now, obviously, when the sellout left for L.A.,
We weren't going to talk about it.
I didn't mention his name. But you know, you got the Browns and the Indians who are relevant. Obviously, we're coming up on
the Browns are relevant.
They will be.
They are.
They will be.
Okay.
But
I tell you
but,
what, Joe, I agree with you. I think they're going to be. They're going to surprise some people. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're.
Do you have a fever,
Roger?
I
don't think they're going to win 10 games.
I think five or six
games.
I do.
And they got a pretty rugged schedule again.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I agree with you.
Now, will five or six games keep Hughes' job? Will he keep his job if he wins five or six games?
Yes.
That's probably.
I mean, I'm okay with that, but I'm not sure
that. He kept his job when he won one to zero.
Yeah, but that's a rebuild. It's a rebuilding process. I was around, you know, being a Bengals follower. I'm not a fan because until Marvin Lewis is gone, I'm not going to call myself a fan anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And how many times had he been on the hot seat?
He should have been gone six, 7 years ago.
Right, I agree.
But but they don't want to. They don't want to shake things up in Cincinnati. They like mediocrity or bad.
They
football
like just going to the playoffs and getting beat by the Steelers every year.
True,
which I'm fine with that. Sure. I mean, keep Marvin. I was an advocate for them keeping Marvin Lewis because we continue to trash you guys.
I heard
every
they're
year,
about ready to trade Burfitt to the Steelers. He'd fit in well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But but anyway,
we'll take him.
The Browns are looking up. I mean, I think 4 or 5 wins possible this year. Mm-hmm. Maybe 6 if. I've always said bad teams in the NFL don't win on the road. So find me a road win that they can eke out maybe in Cincinnati. I don't know. But I think they can win a couple of their home games and get to 4 or 5 wins. But the Indians, they're there. I mean, they need to add a couple arms to that bullpen. I think they can compete.
But the AL is so good. I mean, it Boston is good, and New York is good, and Houston, the world champions, are good. Yeah. So I'm not sure how they're going to compete with those teams. I really don't.
Well, think about this. The American League East, you're going to have Boston and New York. One of those teams are going to be a wild card and only have one game in the playoffs. And if they, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, heck, they could.
How many times did Pittsburgh, when they had a decent team,
or the Reds,
couldn't
they
get
were,
in? Yeah, they couldn't get in, so they played a 1-game wild card and got stomped, and then were out.
Sure. Yeah. So, but the stretch here for baseball will take off here after the All-Star break. It should be fun. Hopefully for the Indians, they can continue to win, and hopefully my Reds don't end up in the cellar of the NL Central.
I hope they do.
Hopefully they
don't,
pass that
you know
team
who's
in,
be in there.
I know. I want to pass that team that's in that. What is that, yellow and gold, or
the
black
team that
and gold
doesn't want to spend any money?
True. But anyway, obviously the NFL coming up here. In end of July, the training camps start. We'll talk a little bit about the Browns. Are you hopeful for the Browns this year, Roger?
Absolutely. I mean, I personally would like to have seen them draft Saquon Barkley, but
okay.
They've got a...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did you just say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay, because... I was beating that bandwagon, and him and Eric are telling me I was crazy.
Really? But the way John Dorsey is, he likes to have balance in his backfield. He likes to have Carlos Hyde. He likes Duke Johnson, and he just likes balance. So,
now, are you okay with Baker Mayfield, or would you rather have one of the other quarterbacks that was in that draft?
Thank you. See? This is where me and Roger are here.
I don't know. I don't know yet. But it's going to be Tyrod Taylor's team. So.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And I think they took – and personally, I think they took Baker Mayfield because he's very similar to Tyrod Taylor. So if Mayfield does have to come in for an injury or something, they don't have to dumb down the playbook because it's going to be essentially the same quarterback, just a different person.
I know. Everybody was comparing him to Johnny Manziel. Oh. I didn't see that. But, I mean, maybe in stature, height-wise and stuff like that. He might be a little taller.
He's
a
probably
bit
a little bigger than Manziel,
but I didn't see that. But we'll just see. I don't know.
I would have loved to have seen him take Josh Allen
in person.
I think Josh Allen will be the best quarterback in that draft.
I saw Baker Mayfield in person last year in Columbus against Ohio State, and the dude can play football. I mean, he's a really good football player, and he's playing against some elite competition. I mean, he doesn't play against bad teams, so to speak. I mean, Ohio State was a huge win for his resume against some great defensive players, but I just worry about no Big 12 quarterback has ever really done much in the NFL. And that's the only thing that I'm concerned with
Baker. See Brandon Whedon?
Or Sam Bradford. I mean, he can't stay healthy. I mean, he's had a couple of good years. Mm-hmm. But Brandon Whedon, there's other, Johnny Manziel came from the Big 12 because Texas A&M was in the Big 12 when he was there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Baker. Denzel Ward, did you like that pick with number 4?
I did. I would like to have seen him gone and got a pass rusher, but they feel they need to shore up the secondary, which I can't complain about.
Maybe their thought process is, you know what, maybe we'll be bad enough again this year, we can get Nick Bosa instead of Chubb. So that would be an interesting fit. Your Steelers, obviously Le'Veon Bell has not signed an extension yet. Are you worried about that?
No. Bye.
Wow, he's giving up. You're giving up on Le'Veon
Bell.
It's
time. Yeah, it's time to go. He's becoming a distraction. It's time to go. I'm not saying that they have the answer. They drafted a young kid they're really raving about in camp. Obviously they've got James Conner coming back, who's, they said he's healthy and looks great. Neither one of them are Le'Veon Bell. They don't have his skill level. Le'Veon Bell, I think, is a top 2 back in the NFL, if not the best running back in the NFL, because he can run for 1,000. He can receive it for 1,000. Heck, he'd probably throw it for 1,000. But, the problem is he's getting close to that 30-year-old mark, right, where players tend to drop off.
Specifically, running backs will hit a wall.
At that 30-year-old mark, they just don't seem to do. So he's only a couple of years away from that, and it's becoming a distraction of, you know, first he wants $13 million. So the Steelers step up and say, okay, well, we'll give you the $13 million. Then he says, no, I want $13.5 million. So then they come back to the table and say, okay, we'll give you $13.5 million. Then he wants $14 million. Well, I mean, we're not going to do this. Yeah. You know what I mean? They offered to meet him where he wanted three different times. And the guy is now he's franchise tagged. And you know what? Bye. Go away.
His suppliers raised prices on him. So he needs
to. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. It's time for him to go away. If you're going to be a distraction to the team, you go away. And that's the history of Pittsburgh, right? Santonio Holmes caught the game-winning Super Bowl from – or the game-winning catch in the Super Bowl from Roethlisberger. Dude got busted for weed twice, and he was gone. He started to become a distraction. You're gone. And that's the way the Steelers have always done it. That's one of the things that I appreciate most about, you know, the organization. The only player that they didn't do that with was Ben. They stuck with Ben through some difficult things that he was going through and idiotic decisions. And now Ben's turned out to be a pretty good dude in the community and with a family and those sort of things. So, you know, it is what it is. But
speaking of Ben coming up, I believe he's 35 now. We'll be 35, 36. We coming to the end of the Ben era, or are we going to see him for 4 or 5 more years?
Well, I don't know. Did you see that, Roger? The other day he came out and said, when I sign my next contract, I'm not going to ask for more money because I want to continue to build around us. And I'm like, wait a minute. Your next contract, first you were talking about being done and not even playing this year. Then it was, well, I'm going to play another 2 or 3 years and finish my contract. Now you're talking about signing another contract? What do you think? Can Ben sustain that as long as Tom Brady? Or do you think that he's starting down the backside?
I don't know. I think he might be. I don't think he's in the class of, I mean, not class, but the Brady era. I mean, Brady.
Well, I mean, do you think he can do it as long as what Tom Brady's 41 now, right?
He's probably 35-ish, 36.
Yeah, Ben's 35, Brady's what, 41?
40 or 41, something like that.
I don't know.
I don't think he can do it another 5-6 years. I just don't. He takes a beating.
He takes a beating in this division.
I mean, Brady sits back there in the pocket and throws the football, and Ben is that guy that is always, you know, getting contacted and trying to stay alive in the pocket. And I don't think he can do it for 5 or 6 more years. But
pretty difficult to do, yeah. I think. So.
Yeah. Sure. And the Bengals are just rebuilding. We'll get
– We don't care about them.
Yeah, we won't talk about them right now. Real quick NBA note, Roger, a couple weeks ago, the NBA draft, we haven't talked to you about this. Colin Sexton, did you like the pick for the Cavs?
Hey, I've seen him. I mean, this is summer league.
Oh, yeah.
But what I've seen of the dude, I think I like. I mean, he drives to the hole, he finishes. So
sure.
What the heck?
But how many games realistically do they win? Are they battling for a playoff spot if the roster stays the same minus the guy that went away?
Yeah.
Do they battle for
the eighth seed? You talking about Jeff Green that went away?
Yeah. Okay. Do they battle for the 8th seed, or are they looking at winning 20 games again?
That's the problem. If you keep the team as constructed, you might squeak into the 8 or 7, and what does that get you?
Boston
beat down?
Yeah. Right.
Or do you just blow it up and try to get
through the draft
assets?
Sure.
Well, that's what I think.
I like some of the players they got. I like we talked about Larry Nance Jr. I like Larry Nance and Colin Sexton. I've always liked Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He's a walking double-double, and he's going to get more. I mean, if you keep him around, he's going to be the.
But does he want to play there?
But can he go back?
Does he want to stay?
Can he go back to the Kevin Love that was in Minnesota before he came here? That was averaging 25 and 12. Yeah. I think so. Because I think LeBron switched the way he played the game, and he's added a 3-point shot to his game.
But you said, do you want him around? I mean, you could trade him and get more assets and.
But if you're Kevin Love, do you want to leave and go to a contender, or do you want to say, hey, you know what? I can sit here, and now I'm a superstar again. This is my team.
True.
In a sense, it is. Yep. And you build with Clarkson, and you build with Nance Jr., you build with Rodney Hood, and in a couple of those other pieces, I still think you get rid of Tristan Thompson. I still think he needs to go away. But
just send him to L.A. with the Kardashians. It'll be all right.
You know what I mean? Him and never mind. I'm just not.
Senior not going Kardashians?
There. Yeah, not going. I'm not saying nothing. I'm done with talking about L.A. people.
Awesome.
And period, and we can consider that guy LA.
Absolutely. So. And we're going to be done with this podcast, but real quick, we're going to give away two tickets.
Two
packs of tickets for the TR All-Star game. So comment on the Facebook post here on Facebook Live, WTUZ, Big Z Sports. We have two sets of tickets, two pack of tickets for the TR All-Star game. If you want them, we'll see your comments and tell us on the post why you want to go to the All-Star game.
Why do you want to go?
If you have a son playing or a nephew or a cousin or whoever, we want to know why you're going, why you want to go to the game, and we'll award the tickets coming up probably later in the day, maybe tomorrow, but we'll give everybody a chance to comment on the Facebook post of this Facebook Live as you're watching it now. If you want to two tickets to the All-Star game, you need to comment on why you want to go or who you're going to watch.
Or maybe a favorite memory.
Sure.
Make us want to give you the tickets. Chris Kale, Joe Geckler here with you, being joined by special guest Jimmy McCune, the Bulldog. He is one of our must-see sprint car drivers that's going to be down at Midvale Speedway this Saturday night. Hey, Jimmy, you know, you are now the three-time defending series champion of the must-see sprint cars. You won it in 2015, 2016, and 2017. You are the current point leader this season, only by 12 points over Aaron Pierce. You guys are going to battle it out Saturday night at Midvale. What do you expect?
I mean, I expect a pretty good show. I think we put on a pretty damn good show last year, and I don't expect anything less of it this year. And, you know, he's been extremely good competition this year, so it's going to be a battle no matter what.
Yeah, it's great to have you and Aaron Pierce and, you know, all the guys. It's always great seeing the Bloomer coming too. I know you've been battling it out with Gerster the last few years, and he's kind of on a part-time schedule this year. So, you know, one of your competition guys, you know, not there full-time.
Yeah, I mean, he's hit a few of races, and he's running with another series at the same time, so they're kind of, you know, mixing both at this moment. So I don't know if he's going to be there or not. I haven't really heard a whole lot about who's actually going to be there. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, we're working hard at the moment trying to get everything sorted out and finished up with the car after this past weekend.
Right. And then you won at Berlin, of course, on June 11th, your win this year. The other win coming at Anderson in April. You set fast time at Berlin, and then you've never won there. You finally cracked that code, so to speak. Talk about your win at Berlin back in June.
Be honest with you, it was just pretty surreal. I mean, I used to not even really care to go to that place. You know, we'd run decent, nothing ever really good. And when I teamed up with Jason Blonde a few years ago driving for another guy, he gave me a couple of pointers on what to do with the car. And then all of a sudden we started getting better and better. And we'd had quite a few seconds over the last 4 or 5 years. And just to get that win, I mean, I thought it took us long to win at Toledo, my hometown. But I think we did that in 2011. So, yeah, it's been quite a number of years of racing at that place. And, yeah, I mean, when I took the lead on the backstretch, and I just went, wow, I'm actually leading at Berlin. And I knew we had an extremely fast race car because we had caught everybody at that point and passed them. So it just I still remember that moment when I took the lead. So, yeah, that'll live on for a long time.
Jimmy, let's rewind a little bit and go back to last year's race at Midvale. You came out on top and was in victory lane. Talk to us about what that win meant to you and what you're looking forward to coming back here to Midvale this year.
Oh, it's just a great facility. I mean, I was amazed by just how awesome the facility is. The racetrack was neat. We haven't run anything like that in quite a long time because it's so flat and, you know, pretty much a tight little racetrack. And it was good. I think I passed my nephew for the lead. And, you know, he's going to be back with us again this year. So I'm looking for him to be even stronger as well.
Yeah, you did pass your nephew on the lead right before the only caution of the race. You know, that one caution flag, if you remember right, it came early in the race. It was just a lazy spin. I think Bronzy Lawson, the four, spun early, like 12 laps in. You had just taken the lead from Anthony. You kind of checked out in the latter stages of the race. Then you picked up I think it was a slow leak in the right front tire. Remember, we were all in victory lane, and we heard this hissing sound, and Jimmy had no air left in the right front tire, and that's why you let the field come back to you. I think it was you, Gerster, Anthony, and Ryan Gillenwater all finished about under a blanket for the race win at the 40-lap mark. It was just an exciting event, and I can't wait to see it again this Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the last five laps of that race was pretty intense for me because they were beating on my back door, and I couldn't turn the car. It was just really, really tight, and, you know, I was stopping in the corners to make sure the car would turn and, you know, just drag race down the straightaways, and, you know, luckily we got the win and held them guys off.
Yeah, and then this year so far, you know, you've had a good season. You won at Anderson again. Your dominance with the wing at Anderson has been spectacular. You won back there in April, finished fourth at Hickory, then 31st at the Little 500. And I got to ask you real quick, you know, you're 38th in laps completed all time at the Little 500. Three top tens. You're tied for 13th in all-time starts with 14. You were a rookie back in 2002. And, of course, I've been going to the Little 500 since 92, and even before you started racing there. And you've been so good at Anderson with the wing on top. But when you guys take that wing off and you get to the Little 500, man, you've had your struggles at times. How's come that is?
I don't really know. I wish I knew. Sometimes it's a love-hate relationship with that place.
Right.
I don't really understand it. We just never really had a whole lot of luck. We've had really good race cars there in the past. Just never had the luck to put anything together and have a really good run. I think the first year I was over there when I drove for Benny Rapp, it was the best run we'd ever had. And we were running, I think, fourth with less than 100 to go, and we lost a water pump window and started spewing oil out the right side of the car. So, I mean, it's just, you know, we've had really good, strong race cars, just never had a good finish to say, you know, hey, we were there, and, you know, we were in contention to have a decent run. And one of these days, you know, Aaron Pierce stepped up and helped me a ton this past year, and, you know, we qualified the first day and didn't even get into the show. It was so bad.
Right.
And he stepped up, and I went over and begged for a little bit of help, and he came over and helped us out quite a bit and got the car sorted around. And, you know, I haven't got a chance to run it since then. I thought it was really good in the race, and for some reason or another, we lost the brakes. But we're going to work on those issues and try to get back for a couple of those Wednesday night shows and see if we've got something for them. Our Thursday night, I think it is.
Right, and, you know, like you said, you're a rookie back in 2002. You probably would have been rookie the year if Tony Hunt didn't finish fourth. You ended up finishing 14th that year. You skipped 03. Came back in qualified 8th and 04. You were caught up in a wreck. I believe it was off of the start, right, on the opening lap. And then you had another deal, same thing, an accident back in 2009 where you qualified 10th and finished 32nd.
Yeah, we've been unfortunate on the first lap of a few starts there. Smacked a turn one wall on going into the first lap, and we've smacked turn two wall twice on the first lap. So, yeah, like I said, man, it's just been love and hate with that place. But
I know.
Like I said, if we could figure out the magic that we have with the wing car, or the non-wing car, it would be amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's coming. I mean, and that's the good thing. People may not understand, you know, the amount of downforce that wing gives you guys, and you know, even though you might have a good car one year at Anderson, you don't have it the next year. It's just, you know, it's just like a weekly race at Midvale. One week you might have a good race car, and the next week you're lost. And that's just the way racing goes sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we just keep working and working and try to make the car as best we can each night.
Well, Jimmy, we appreciate you taking time here to join us to talk about your upcoming race here at Midvale Speedway this Saturday. We look forward to seeing you again, and good luck coming to Victory Lane again.
Awesome, guys. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bulldog. Appreciate it. We'll see you on Saturday.
Yep, see you there.
That is Jimmy McCune, the Bulldog from Toledo, Ohio, your current must-see Sprint Car Series leader in points. He's the three-time defending champion. 26th career win back when he finished at Berlin on June 11th and picked up the win there. 103 career feature wins for the Bulldog. You can see him at Midvale Speedway on Saturday night. The must-see Sprint Cars coming back for the second year in a row. Modified street stocks, compacts, and mini trucks all in action. Only $15 to get in. It's actually a reduced grandstand price from what it was last year. So that's a great thing. Kids get in 5 and under for free. There's student pricing too. I believe seniors is $10. Students 4 to or yeah, 7 to 14, I believe, is $10, then $8, and then it drops down, or $5 rather, then it drops down to 5 and under for free. So make sure you stop out. Qualifying at 3:30, or gates open at 3:30, qualifying at 5, racing at 6:30. Must see sprint cars, one of those shows you don't want to miss at Midvale, Joe.
Absolutely, I would agree with you. Good turnout for 4th of July out at Midvale.
Yeah, it was a real good turnout. Another packed house. The Main Event Outlaw Series did another nice job. Steve Needles, big name that runs up in Michigan, the Michigan-Indiana area, kind of up in that corner around Toledo. Big late model driver, young late model driver, but big name. He came down his first visit to Midvale Speedway, and he was a rocket. He ended up getting around Bud Perry, and Bud is very, very good at Midvale. He's won, once he got his first win, I think he won 3 of the next 4 at Midvale Main Event races, and to pass him on the outside was pretty impressive. Ryan Tedesco finished 3rd, so he had a good run. Flying Ryan, yeah, the flying UPS man,
the flying ups man.
Yes, he. Remember when they had those commercials when Dale Jarrett was sponsored by it with you can't beat Brown and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
So we still give Ryan a hard
time about
that.
Why isn't his car brown?
I don't know.
I think that would be kind of funny.
I'm sure if UPS stepped up and gave him some money, I'm sure he'd paint it whatever color they wanted.
Sure.
But, yeah, Ryan finished good. We had the open modifieds, open street stocks, open compacts. It was a great show. We had a good field of cars in every division, packed house. John Chapman, the new owner of Midvale, was very, very pleased with finally having a beautiful night of racing. It was warm. But no threat of rain the last 2 weeks, and we finally got out of the red. So it was a good thing. It just stinks for a new track owner to have nothing but rain and weather problems to start the year. And that just puts you in a hole right off the rip. And it's taken to about mid-season. We just had mid-season championships to finally, start to turn some things around. And, things are looking good at Midvale. And we'll continue to have a great stretch run. We've got, of course, the must-see sprint cars this weekend, but we've got Christmas in July coming up next week, where we give away a ton of stuff to the kids, bicycle giveaways, different tickets and stuff that we'll be giving away for Christmas in July night, Old Timers Night at the end of July, which will be great.
Are you going to be in that one?
No, I'm not. Okay. I've had the longevity at Midvale, just not in the car.
But you are an old timer, right?
I kind of am. Yeah. I probably would be eligible, but Old Timers Night's great whenever you can have all the old guys come back and reminisce at Midvale Speedway, and we'll introduce them all on the front straightaway to the crowd and allow them to step back into the limelight a little bit. And it's always good to have. And then, of course, another big night coming up on Labor Day Sunday. The Main Event Series will be back, a big 100-lapper, the Ohio Invitational, open modifieds, open street stocks, open compacts, and then, of course, our season championship races towards the middle of September, our big fall classic, a 3-day fall classic this year in October. So a lot of good stuff still to go to Midvale Speedway, and make sure you stop down and see us and support your local racetrack. I always hear on the internet all the time in the wintertime, bring in this series, bring in this series. If we don't get the people to come out to the racetrack and support those series that we bring in, then we can't have the money to bring them back. So we need people to get out to Midvale Speedway this weekend.
Awesome. Good stuff as always, man.
Yep, man. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to the Bulldog for joining us as well.
Absolutely. Again, Action Extreme Sports brings you this podcast each and every week right here on Big Z Sports and on Facebook Live, WTUZ Big Z Sports. We'll talk to you next week and at the All-Star Game. Again, don't forget, Big Z Sports, live play-by-play coverage of the TR All-Star Game. First time probably in the last 8 or 9, 10 years.
Probably in a long time.
Since Big Z Sports has been there. So we're excited, and we'll bring you all the coverage beginning at 6:30. On Friday, July 20th. We'll talk to you again next week during the podcast. Chris, we'll see you next week. Roger, thanks again.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at Big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.